Good morning, my friends. I'm so thankful that you could join us for our worship service today. It's a privilege to be able to bring this message to you in the English language also. We're so excited about what God is doing, in Thailand, what God is doing around the world even, and what God is doing through Rhema Thailand. Even though there's been the situation with COVID and all the obstacles and the hindrances, God is still moving and God is still at work. We're still able to minister to people. We're still able to train leaders and raise up new leaders. And so we're especially excited that we're able to begin our School of the Bible classes in the Thai language online. Also, we're beginning with our youth services and our children's services online also. And we're excited about this month because we're going to begin an online Bible school for the Burmese speaking students. Most of you know that we have three Bible schools that minister in the Burmese language to the Myanmar ministers. And so we have not been able to open those schools yet due to the restrictions because of COVID-19. So we're going to go online at the end of this month. We will begin that online school. Last week, we've had 60 students apply. I just heard today more applications have come in. I'm not sure of the final count. But we're excited about what God is doing. And I'm especially excited today to be able to bring this message from the Word of God to you. God is a great and mighty God. He has a plan that will work. His plan for your life is good. Jesus came into this earth not just so that we could be forgiven of our sins, but he revealed the one true God to us. He taught us the truth. He sacrificed his life on the cross. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He ascended up into heaven and sit down at the right hand of God, a position of power and authority. Jesus did all of that not for himself, but for us. Why? So that we could live a life of victory. So that we could overcome the things that's in this world. Amen. You know, God and Jesus didn't come just to die to be so that we could be forgiven. He doesn't want us to be in bondage to anything. And as we live in this world, in this earth, there is sin, there's darkness, there's evil. The devil is at work in the spiritual realm. And so many things can come against the Christians and try to hinder the Christians, try to hinder their faith, keep them from walking in the blessings of God, and create a life that is not a good life, an abundant life. And so we need to know how to overcome in life. And so today I'm going to begin a new series called You Can Overcome. God wants you to overcome all the things of this world that will come against you so that nothing would hinder you, so that you would not be in bondage to anything. You would walk in the freedom that Jesus came to give you. And so this series is called You Can Overcome. And each week we're going to take a different topic, issues in life that Christians commonly experience and most often experience. And how can we overcome those different things, such as worry, such as fear, such as offense, and different other subjects? We'll do one each week. Today we're going to teach on how to overcome worry. And so the title of the sermon is You Can Overcome Worry. You can overcome worry. You know, the Bible tells us that God has commanded us to not worry. And so today we're going to look at two important truths concerning worry, and we're going to see from the Word of God how we can overcome worry so that we can live a life free of worry. Amen. So let's begin with point number one in our outline. Point number one is two important truths about worry. And you can download the outlines in English or Thai from our website, rhemathailand.org. If you receive our messages through our line groups, they're also available in those line groups also. But point number one, two important truths about worry. I want to share with you these two truths about worry because if we understand these truths, if we have a biblical perspective of worry, it helps us to overcome worry. When worry comes, we can have a right attitude and perspective. And so the first truth about worry that I want to share with you today is that worry is a tool of the devil. It's something the devil uses to try to hinder us in life, to attack our faith, to get us out of faith. And so worry is a tool of the devil. We see that truth in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. The enemy and the devil will attack us with thoughts and situations and feelings to try to get us to begin to worry. And so we just have to recognize when worry begins to take place, when we begin to feel worried, sometimes that's just a good signal for us, helping us to realize, okay, there's something here I need to pay attention to and take care of. But what we should not do is yield to that worry. We should not allow that worry into our lives to begin to control us, begin to control the way we think, the way we believe, the way we speak, what we do. And so we have to understand this truth about worry. It is a tool of the devil, designed by the devil to hinder you and to hinder your faith. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the scripture says, casting all your cares upon him. God doesn't want you to worry. God doesn't want you to carry those cares, worry about the things of life on your own. He wants you to cast those cares upon him. It says casting all your care, not some, not the ones that you can't handle by yourself, but casting all your cares on him. Well, if God tells us in the Bible to cast all our cares on him, then that means it's not his will for us to carry those cares. It's not his will for us to worry about those things. It also means that he wants to help us. Amen. And if he tells us to cast all our cares upon him, then God must provide a way by which we can cast those cares upon him. And we're going to teach you how to do that today. But it also causes us to realize that God wants us to live a life free of worry. Amen. It says here in verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares about you. He cares about every situation in your life. He is aware of what's going on in your life, and he wants to help you. But in order to help us, we must cast those cares upon him. But as we go on to read in verse 8, we see this truth about worry that we're sharing with you today. Verse 8 is connected to verse 7. Verse 8 is not talking about a different topic. It's still the same topic about worry and casting our cares upon the Lord. And it says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so it talks about our adversary, the devil, our enemy. He goes about like a lion, roaring. He's not a lion, but he tries to act like a lion to put fear in people, cause them to begin to worry and have cares. And so he goes about looking for those whom he may devour. That means he cannot devour anybody he wants to. He has to go look for those who he can devour. And one primary tool that he uses to do that is worry. He tries to weigh you down with the cares of this life and cause you to begin to worry about things in your life. And as you worry about those things in your life, you begin to think wrong. You begin to believe wrong. You begin to speak wrong and do wrong, and to try to deal with those worries, to try to free yourself from that worry and that care. And so it's important for us to be sober, be vigilant, pay attention, be aware. Take this serious, because the enemy is looking for whom he can devour. And so we are aware of this truth. And so when worry comes, when we feel worried, we immediately realize, wait a minute, that is a tool of the devil. I don't have to worry, because the Bible said, cast all my cares on the Lord. If you look in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 8, it reveals another aspect of this truth. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Psalms chapter 37 verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, or do not worry. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And so it's the truth that the Bible, God wants us to know. When people are fretting, if they don't overcome that fret or that worry, it will bring harm in their lives. Why? Because like I said, they begin to think wrong. They begin to look for ways to solve their problem. If they're in worry, if they're fretting, then they're not walking in faith. If they're not walking in faith, then they're not trusting God. And so who are they trusting? Well, many times they begin to trust their own selves, their own ability, their own ideas, how to resolve that issue, to rid themselves of that worry and those cares. And so it just causes more problems. It causes the situation to get worse. And so we need to understand that worry is a tool of the devil. If we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, let's read verse 9. This verse tells us what to do about worry. And we need to resist worry just like we resist the devil. And so in 1 Peter 5, 9, it says, resist him. Who's him? The adversary, the devil, in verse 8. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so one thing the scripture is telling us is this, is that the things that you suffer, the cares of life that come upon people, come upon you, the things that you're tempted to worry about, you're no different than anybody else. These things come to everybody at some point in time in life. And when they do come, when those cares come, when those worries come, they come as a tool of the devil to attack your life. And so what do? You resist worry just like you resist the devil. It says here, resist him steadfast in the faith. Amen. So we are strong in our faith. Our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for us, our faith that Jesus has defeated the devil. He's disarmed the devil. The devil's beneath his feet, and therefore the devil is beneath our feet. Steadfast in faith in what Jesus has done for us. We are seated at the right hand of God in Christ. Amen. And so we have authority. Steadfast in faith, we believe that the victory is ours, that God always leads us into triumph. Amen. And so we begin to resist. We believe in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. And so we begin to resist that worry. And when that worry comes, we say, oh no, we're not going to worry in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that worry. I command that worry to go. In the name of Jesus, God is faithful. God is powerful. God can help me. God is on my side. And so many things that we can say like that according to the truths of God's word. And we use our faith to resist that worry. Amen. So we must understand that worry is a tool of the devil designed to get you out of faith. And so we must be aware. And so we resist that worry just like we resist the devil. The second truth I want to share with you about worry is that it is a complete waste of time for you to worry. Worry cannot help you in any way. You know, I've actually heard people say, well, I have to worry about those things. If I didn't worry about them, if I don't care about them, I'd be a bad person. If I'm going to be a responsible person, I must worry about those things. My friends, that is a lie of the devil. Yes, we must be responsible. Yes, we must take care of things. Yes, we must do all that we can do in the natural when things happen in life. But at the same time, worry is not part of God's plan for your responsibility in dealing with the situations of life. Amen. It is not true that you must worry. It is not true that worry is evidence that you are a good person, that you're a responsible person, and that you truly care about something or someone. That is not true. Worry is evidence that you're not trusting in God. It's not possible to believe God, trust in God, walk in faith, and worry at the same time. And so it's important that you understand worry is a complete waste of time. And so don't even bother with it. That's what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Let's read that verse. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus is talking about worrying in this passage of Scripture. He begins to talk about, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And then he begins to talk about people of this world, people who don't have God, people who don't know Jesus, people who don't have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. They begin to worry about things concerning this life, the cares of this life. And those worries and those cares cause them to begin to pursue and seek and serve money instead of God. And that can happen in the life of the Christian if we don't know these truths. And so Jesus says in verse 27 to explain to them why you should not worry. He says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And of course, the answer is no one. No one can add one cubit to his life. What that means is you cannot help the situation. You cannot make your life better by worry. And so it's a waste of time. Don't bother worrying. Instead of worrying, trust God. And that's what he says in verse 33, Matthew 6, 33. Trust God instead of worrying. In verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, in the context of this scripture, the things that people of the world are worrying about, the way to have those needs met, the way to receive is not to worry, not to pursue those things, but pursue God. Amen. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And what will happen? God will take care of those things. God will bless us. It says all those things will be added to you. And so, my friends, instead of worrying, wasting time with worry, make a decision to trust God. When worry comes, when the temptation to worry comes, when you sense the feeling of worry inside of you, realize this truth. It's a waste of time. I'm not going to waste time worrying. I'm going to trust in God. Amen. If I trust God, God will take care of it. If I trust God, God will add those things into my life. Amen. So there's no need to worry about those things. And so we know these truths about worry that will give us a biblical perspective about worry so that we can begin to respond in the right way when worry comes to us. And so we want to look at how we can overcome that worry. We have a biblical perspective, and we know some things that we can begin to do to overcome already, as we shared. But I want to share with you three principles how we can overcome worry. And point number two in the outline, how to overcome worry. The first principle is we overcome worry by refusing to worry. We just make a choice. I refuse to worry. Why? Because it's just a waste of time. Why? Because it's a tool of the devil. And so we just refuse to worry. Amen. If you look in Philippians chapter 4, and these three principles of how to overcome worry all come from Philippians chapter 4. And so let's look at number one here, by refusing to worry. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Be anxious. Fret. Don't fret. Don't worry about anything. Amen. That means you have a choice. Some people don't know they have a choice. They think when worry comes, they have to worry. Oh no. They begin to plan and think about it. No. Refuse to entertain that worry. Refuse to enter into that worry. Refuse to worry. Know that the Bible says, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. Know that you can resist that worry. Know that you can take the name of Jesus and resist that worry in your life. And refuse to worry. Amen. This is what we must do. You have a choice. You must know. If the Bible says to be anxious for nothing, that means it's possible for you to be anxious for nothing. But you have to make that choice. No, I'm not going to be anxious about this. When you begin to feel anxious, realize that is a warning signal to you. Okay, it's time to make a choice. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to fret. I refuse to worry. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. That means I do not have to worry about this. I do not have to be anxious about this. And so the first step, the first principle in overcoming worry is to just refuse to worry. Amen. Resist that worry. The second principle that we can use to overcome worry is by prayer and thanksgiving. Amen. And so that's the second principle in your outline, by prayer and thanksgiving. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 6 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. So what do we do when anxiety comes? What do we do when worry comes? We resist, we trust God, and we pray. Amen. We take that thing that we're anxious about. We take that worry to God. It says with prayer and supplication. And so we go to God in prayer. This is how we cast those cares on the Lord that 1 Peter 5:7 talked about, is through this prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And so we go to God. Now God knows the situation. God understands everything that's happening, but he wants us to come to him in faith, in prayer, trusting in him. And so it says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known to God. Amen. Go to God with a request. Tell God your request. What is it that you want to request from God concerning this situation? Concerning that which you're tempted to be anxious about or to worry about. Let your request be made known to God. Here it says prayer and supplication. Of course, prayer, the word prayer here is the general word for prayer. The word supplication, if you look in a Greek dictionary, it simply means this. When we supplicate, we go to God with a need. We have a need in our life. We take that need to God and we pray specifically about that need. Not generally. We cannot have the attitude, well, if it's God's will, he'll help us. He will help me. We cannot have the attitude, well, God knows if he wants to help, he can help. We cannot have the attitude that, well, if it's God's will. No, that's not the way the Bible teaches us to pray. Well, if it's God's will, he'll help me. No, that's not biblical prayer. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, John wrote this, this is the confidence that we have in prayer, that if we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that he grants the petitions that we've asked or desired of him. That's biblical prayer. Before you pray, before you supplicate, you know what the will of God is. You find God's will. The situation that you're tempted to be anxious and worry about, find scripture. What does God say about that? What is the promise of God's word for you concerning that situation? What does the Bible say about the character of God and how God helps you because he's a faithful God. He's a powerful God. He's a loving and caring God. He's a compassionate God, a God of grace and mercy. Amen. And so we find out what God's will is. And based on the promise of God's word, the truth of God's word, we go to God in prayer and we supplicate. We have a specific need and we have a specific request regarding that need. The request is in line with the word of God. And so we pray specifically to God. God, this is my request. This is what I need in this situation. No matter what the situation is, maybe you're tempted to have anxiety and worry about not having enough money to make the house mortgage payment on time, or the car payment on time, or something to do with your children's school, or your children's life, or whatever it may be, your business, your marriage, your home, your work, whatever it may be, you're tempted to worry and be anxious about something regarding those issues. And so you find out what God's word says about the promise, what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, what belongs to you through Jesus Christ. And you understand that all the promises that are yours, it's not something that God will do for you. Really, it's something God has already done and given to you. Amen. And so we approach prayer from a biblical perspective. We go to God in prayer and we supplicate, Father God, I'm tempted to worry about the money to pay the mortgage payment this month, but I just cast that care on you, for I know that you're faithful. I'll do all that I know to do in the natural, but I believe that you're a faithful God, that you meet my every need, that I am a giver, and so you multiply my seed sown, that all my needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And I resist that worry, that anxiety in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it and command it to go from me. I do not allow it to stay. Amen. This is what it means with prayer and supplication. Amen. We pray specifically. We make a specific request. Father, This is the situation. This is what I need. This is what I ask for. And the Bible teaches us when we pray with confidence, as John said in 1 John 5:14 and 15. If we pray according to His will, we know that He hears us. If we know that He hears us, we know that He has given us the thing that we required or asked of Him. That's faith. Jesus said it this way, Mark 11:24, that when you pray, believe that you receive. Amen. You will have it. And so the believing you receive comes before the having. That's faith. So when you pray and make that prayer and supplication, specific request to God, you must believe you receive. Even before you can see it, you believe you receive it. It's yours by faith. And that's what Hebrews 11:1 says about faith, that faith is the substance of things not seen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith in your heart is evidence what you can't see is real and belongs to you. And that kind of faith will give substance to what you're hoping for, which is the petition, the request, the supplication that you're presenting to God. Amen. And when we understand faith and prayer this way, then we can do what else it says here in verse 6. It says also with thanksgiving. Amen. We pray, we supplicate, and we begin to thank God. Father, I thank You that You've heard my prayer. Father, I believe, I receive. I thank You that You're faithful. I thank You, Father God, that You honor Your word. I thank You, Father, that You watch over Your word to perform it in my life. I thank You, Father God, that Jesus said, whatever I believe, if my heart I receive. Hallelujah. I have it now. I thank You, Father God, that You're a great and mighty God, that You're a God of grace and mercy and power, that there's nothing too difficult with You, that all things are possible with You. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believe. I believe. I thank You, Father God. I thank You for the answer. I thank You for the provision. I thank You for the miracle, whatever it is. Begin to thank and praise God. Amen. My friends, that is how you overcome worry, anxiety, the cares of this life. That's how you cast them over onto the Lord. Amen. And sometimes when you do that, the feeling of anxiety might come back again. The cares, you may feel the cares of this life weighing on you again. And when that happens, just act on these principles again. Refuse to worry again. Refuse to entertain that anxiety. Refuse to take that care back. Just say no. In Jesus' name, I resist that care. I resist that anxiety. I resist that worry. I've casted that over on the Lord. It's in the Lord's hands now. I've done all that I can do in the natural, and God is taking care of that situation now. I believe, I receive. The miracle is mine. The finances is mine. The door is open. The situation is turned around in Jesus' name. Just respond that way if that anxiety and that worry tries to come back into your life. Amen. Continue to practice these principles each time that comes back. Amen. And so we overcome worry by refusing to worry, by prayer and thanksgiving. And the third principle by which we can overcome worry is by changing channels. Amen. What does that mean? You know, when you're watching TV and something ungodly comes on or something that Christians shouldn't be watching, it's so easy. You have a remote, just push a button, change the channel, find something good to watch. Amen? And so in life, sometimes we have to do that. We have to be careful the source of the information that's coming into our lives. What are we listening to? Who are we listening to? What are we looking at and what are we watching? Amen. All these things come in and can have influence in our lives and make it more difficult for us to overcome worry and to resist that worry. And so sometimes we have to change channels. We have to change what we're listening to. We have to change what we're thinking about, focusing on what we're speaking about. And that's what verse 8 is talking about in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, the word of God is true. God is true. The promises are true. Whatever things are noble, God is noble. God's faithfulness, God's holiness, God's worthiness, God's power, God's integrity, these are noble things in our life. And it says, whatever things are just, God is just. His word is just. His promise is just. And it goes on to say, whatever things are pure, God is pure, Jesus is pure, the Holy Spirit is pure, God's Word is pure. And it goes on to say, whatever things are lovely, amen, whatever things are lovely, that's the Word of God, the promise of God, God Himself. Whatever things are of good report, God's Word gives us a good report. Amen. The good report is God can help you. God is faithful. God is powerful. God cares about you. God's promises are yes and amen. Amen. That is a good report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, amen. Well, God's Word, God's Himself are virtuous. Amen. And worthy, God is worthy of praise. And so what do we do with these things? Notice the end of verse 8. Meditate on these things. Amen. Did you know worry is a type of meditation? What do you do when you worry? You continually think about the problem. And as you think about that problem, you begin to use your imagination. How's that going to end? What's going to happen? What bad thing will happen? And then you begin to talk to people about it. You begin to speak that out. That's meditation in the negative. That's meditating in the problems. We need to change the channel and begin to meditate in these things listed here in verse 8. In what is true, what is just, what is lovely, what is worthy of praise. In other words, we need to change the channel, begin to meditate in the truths concerning God, who God is, His character, what God has promised, what God has said, what God will do for you. We need to change the channel, begin to meditate in the promises of God, in the Word of God. And so find scriptures that speak of the situation that you're facing, that you're tempted to worry about, and that you need to overcome worry concerning that situation. Find scriptures. Begin to meditate in those scriptures. Think about those scriptures again and again and again and again. God is faithful. All things are possible with God. All things are possible to him who believes. I believe God is working a miracle for me. Begin to meditate in these truths. Meditate in the promise. God meets my every need according to his riches and glory. God causes all things to turn out for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God watches over, God is watching over his word to perform it for me right now. Meditate on these truths. Think about them again and again and again. If you don't memorize those scriptures, if you haven't memorized those scriptures, open your Bible. Read that to yourself out loud again and again and again. Eventually you memorize that. You can meditate it anytime, any place, wherever you go. And as you begin to meditate in that, that'll begin to come out of your mouth. You'll begin to speak about that situation. Amen. And you'll begin to speak what God's Word says about that situation. You are changing the channel. Amen. And so begin to meditate. You begin to imagine, oh, the answer, the miracle, the provision, whatever it is, you can see it with the eyes of faith. Amen. That's meditating in the promise, meditating in the truth about God instead of meditating in negative things, instead of meditating in the problems. Amen. And so as we do these things, it helps us to overcome the worry that tries to come in our lives, and we will overcome. God wants you to overcome. And as we practice these principles that I've shared with you today, there's a promise for you. And that promise is in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4. So we skipped over that a minute ago, but let's go back and look at verse 7. And this is point number 3 in your outline. The promise of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. The scripture says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Think about that. The peace of God beginning to operate and work inside of you. It says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that the natural mind, the natural man cannot understand. People who know the situation you're facing will look at you and say, how can you have such peace? I don't understand it. Amen. Thank God. People will see you face these situations in life when the cares of life come upon you. They see you face them with victory, with peace. You come out victorious. Not only are you blessed, but people will see that your God is a great and mighty God. When they get tired of carrying those cares in their own life, worrying in their own life, they'll come to you for help. You can teach them about Jesus Christ. Amen. And so there's a promise. The peace of God, God's very own peace, which passes understanding, says will guard your hearts and minds. Amen. We're getting into supernatural peace, not just trying to keep peace in our own natural ability. But if we refuse to worry, if we overcome worry with prayer and supplication as we've described today, as we change that channel, begin to meditate in these truths from the Bible, truths about God, the promises of God. The Word of God is supernatural. The Word of God has God's power and God's life. It will begin to work inside you, in your hearts and in your minds, bringing peace. Peace which passes all understanding. Amen. You'll have peace on the inside. The devil can't steal your joy. Amen. You will be blessed. Amen. And that's what God wants to do for you. Our part is to do these principles, to know the truth about worry. It's a tool of the devil. It's a waste of time. Refuse to worry. Go to God with prayer and supplication. Change channels. If we'll do that, then God will cause His peace to guard our hearts and our minds. We won't be fretting and making bad choices, making situations worse. We'll have peace. We will just have the attitude, wait and see. Miracles are going to happen. Provision is going to come. God is going to do it for me. Amen. And so you have a promise in Philippians 4:7 of God's peace guarding your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. All of this happens and is available to you through Christ Jesus because of what Jesus has already done for you. Amen. My friends, you can overcome worry. You do not have to live a life of worry. God doesn't want you to carry and struggle in life with the cares of this life. He wants you to cast them over on the Lord. So know today that worry is a tool of the enemy. Resist that worry. Amen. Know that worry is a waste of time. Refuse to worry. Cast your cares on the Lord through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Change channels. When you do these things, you will overcome worry. You will have a life free of worry, free of anxiety, and free of care. You'll have many opportunities. Temptations will come, but you'll not yield. You will overcome worry in your life. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. God wants you to overcome, and you can overcome in this life. Next Sunday, we're going to look at another subject, something that Christians experience often, and some know how to overcome and some don't, and we'll learn how to overcome in life. God bless you. We love you. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next week.